welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And Dr. Ruth Weinstock is here in the studio with me this morning. It's been a long time since you were here, Dr. Weinstock.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, welcome back. We're glad you're here. And listeners will remember your name and will remind them that you're a professor of medicine at Upstate, an endocrinologist, and the director of the Joslin Diabetes Center. And that's why we have you here this morning. We found a study we wanted you to review because it seemed to have such conflicting evidence, and you are such a master at explaining these things to us. This was a study that said blood sugar levels in diabetes patients who were hospitalized. There were studies earlier that said that that blood sugar needed to be controlled very tightly, and new studies say not so much. And if I'm a diabetes patient and I need to be hospitalized, I want to know that somebody's paying attention. What can you tell us about these studies?
Well, this is all a very important area for us to all understand. So we know that good blood sugar control is important for preventing complications. And in the hospital setting, we know that if the blood sugars are too high, that there can be longer lengths of stay, more infections, and other problems.
And that's so hyperglycemia?
That's called hyperglycemia.
Okay.
On the other hand, we don't want blood sugar levels to go too low, which is called hypoglycemia. When blood sugars go too low, you can be confused. It's a stress on the body. It can affect the heart in a bad way, the brain in a bad way. So that having the blood sugar too low is not good either.
Well, you know, the study, the original study came out in 2001, and it was a group in Belgium. I've got some details here. And this group in Belgium said that you needed to really restrict the blood sugar numbers in these patients. And they studied, I want to say, like 1,500 patients or something, so it wasn't such a small sample. But then these newer studies have absolutely conflicted with that. How do you know which ones to believe?
Well, each study is different, and each looked at different blood glucose targets, and I think that's something that needs to be remembered.
Okay.
So in this latest study, the tightly controlled group had a target blood sugar level that was really on the low side of normal.
Okay, and those numbers would be what? Because diabetes patients will recognize numbers.
So that, between 80 and 110, they were trying to get the blood sugar levels. Whereas the group that had a higher blood sugar levels had a mean blood sugar level of 144. They were aiming for less than 180.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that did better?
The ones that did better were the ones in that higher range. 2 points to make about this. That higher range is still much lower than many patients had traditionally in the past been treated. Many patients in the hospital have blood sugars over 200. And so, again, everything is relative. Mm-hmm. So it still is lower than in the past many patients' blood glucose levels.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with trying to get too low to what is really a person without diabetes, blood glucose levels that a person without diabetes would have, is that when you're treating with insulin critically ill patients, and these were critically ill patients, the closer you get down to that lower range, the more hypoglycemia you get, or low blood sugar levels, which, as I mentioned before, can be quite dangerous. And indeed, when they tried to get down to those low levels, they had more hypoglycemia. So I think that the lessons we learned from this is that we don't want the blood glucose levels to go too low. That is more dangerous than compromising for a slightly higher blood glucose level than normal, but still not in a dangerously high range, not over 180.
You know, it begs the question, I think, in terms of hospitals, and I don't know, you know, I know diddly squat about being in the hospital, but I do know that they give people glucose, for instance, when they can't eat. I've got to think that all of this needs to be regulated, doesn't it?
Yes, and we do pay very close attention to this. When people can't eat, they need some glucose. They otherwise they'll starve. They need some form of nutrition.
Sure.
So we have different protocols in different parts of the hospital, and the protocols have to vary depending upon the patient. Does the patient have heart disease? Is the patient eating or not? Is the patient critically ill or not?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of variables that need to be considered. At University Hospital, a team from the Joslin Center is always available for consultation. So we frequently do manage the diabetes portion of the hospitalization, whether they're a surgical patient or another kind of patient. So, and sometimes it can be quite complex. So I think that really every patient needs individualized attention. But what we learned is we don't want to aim for a glucose level that's too low that mm-hmm. would make the person prone to hypoglycemia,
right.
low blood sugar
levels. It sounds like the second set of studies that came out made more sense to you than the first set of studies. I mean, what you know logically about diabetes and how it behaves.
Well, I think that all the studies made sense within the context of the way they were done. They all looked at different patient populations in different places and had slightly different protocols and had different blood glucose targets. So and the patient populations were not the same in the different studies.
And that really is the question. You know, one of the things that we like to talk about here on the show is when we look at these headlines, we need to read between the lines. It's so easy to look at the headlines and just say, oh, look at this. We now need to do such and such. But even people who are listening today, they need to look behind. So I would say to you, these patient populations they looked at, was it age-related? Were there differences in their ages? Were there differences in the treatment they were there to start with? You said yes. Are there differences between surgical patients and medical patients?
Well, there were critically ill patients.
In one form or another.
Right. And how severely critically ill did differ. And one point I want to mention is that this was done in critically ill patients in intensive care units. So that these glucose levels... The results of this study are not translatable to how we treat people in the home.
Okay, and
people
that was
who are awake,
next...
alert,
right.
Eating, and otherwise healthy. And even in the home situation, where hopefully the vast majority of people with diabetes always will be.
Oh, sure.
we would love if they were always
there. Of course.
But in the home situation, even there, we have different targets depending upon the individual. For example, older individuals with heart disease, we worry more about hypoglycemia, low blood sugar levels, because mm-hmm. that could be a stress on the heart.
Sure.
So our goal for their blood sugar levels will be a bit higher than a 20-year-old who has no complications from their diabetes, is otherwise totally healthy, and can feel when their blood sugars are starting to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So we do individualize goals to try to get the blood sugars, again, this is in the home situation, as close to normal as possible, but by definitely avoiding hypoglycemia.
Sure, sure. Because the hypo is really the dangerous
right.
part.
Right. And so we have higher goals in the elderly, in people with heart disease, and some other conditions.
So what this really is just broadens the idea of tailoring the targets to who the patient is. Now, were there, going back to the hospital situation, were there differences between people who had type 1 diabetes versus type 2 diabetes?
We don't really know that. Mm. That's hard to tell. Most of these patients presumably had type 2 diabetes. Some were even didn't know they had diabetes when they entered the hospital.
Really?
So when you're critically ill, glucose levels rise.
They do.
So there's a lot of still open questions, mm-hmm. And this is leading to a lot more studies to better understand what populations, what kinds of patients should have what blood glucose goals.
Well, if I'm a diabetes patient and I know, for instance, that I may be hospitalized, say I need some surgery or whatever it would be, is this a conversation I should be having with my doctor?
Yes, I would discuss with your doctor who's going to be managing your diabetes during the surgery, after the surgery, in the postoperative period, during the hospitalization, how is it going to be treated. It's important for people with type 1 diabetes for their, which is the type of diabetes that always needs some insulin treatment,
sure.
that the entire team taking care of you understands you have type 1 diabetes, so insulin is never stopped, that you have some insulin all the time.
Okay.
So I think that your individual situation definitely needs to be discussed with whoever will be managing your diabetes in the hospital.
And once you're in the hospital, do they typically manage it the same way you would at home, even if the target numbers are different? If you're receiving insulin a couple times a day, or maybe if you're taking tablets or whatever, is it typically managed the same way?
Not always. Typically, we don't use oral agents in the hospital.
Meaning tablets or pills.
We use insulin. And the regimen may not be the same because your requirements may be different in the hospital. And typically, they are different in the hospital. People are more stressed usually when in the hospital, which mm-hmm. can change the blood glucose levels. Their eating is different. So the insulin that matches food may be different. Their activity is different. So there are a lot of variables that are different in the hospital. So typically, we monitor people very carefully with finger stick glucose levels and tailor the insulin regimen to what the blood glucose levels are hour to hour, day to day. And it depends if they're eating or not, what kind of tests they're taking. There are a variety of variables that occur in the hospital that are not present at home.
Okay. And so just because they're going to the hospital doesn't mean they're going to get away from the finger pricks.
Oh, definitely not. They will definitely get finger sticks in
Very
the hospital.
Good. Can you think of any questions the patients should be asking their doctors beyond having the general discussion about managing diabetes while they're in the hospital?
I think they should have that discussion. And they also need to talk to their doctor about what insulin they should take before they enter the hospital if it's an elective admission.
Okay.
If they're not going to be able to eat for a procedure or a test, how should their, whether it's pills or their insulin regimen, be changed the night before, the morning of admission? Those sorts of things should be discussed.
Very good. Well, Dr. Ruth Weinstock, as usual, you're a font of information. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
It's a pleasure.
And listeners, we're going to take a break. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.